Welcome back to the Morning Shift. Triple in for Tiffany, back with you on Monday for a Man Up Monday, but it's a fair or foul Friday. Falcons Saints going to meet for the 111th time on Sunday at 1 o'clock inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Both teams have won 55. And a guy that I hate but respect is the Falcon killer himself, Taysom Hill. You know what he went through in college. Two catastrophic knee injuries at BYU. Undrafted.
Which number matchup did you say this was?
111, I think.
111, okay. Yeah. I was just, I didn't, I was trying to do the math in my head when you said they're both 155.
You were over there ciphering in your head.
I was like,
eh?
All right, yeah. Sorry, Taysom Hill. Yeah.
I know the Falcons have not beat a team more than they beat the Saints, and I would bet everything in both in my bank account to tell you that the Saints haven't beat a team more than they beat the Falcons.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's just how it goes when you play point. When you play somebody twice a year. For literally the existence of your franchises, almost. I mean, it's pretty much how it goes.
But just think about perspective, because he two catastrophic knee injuries in college, undrafted, and he's the epitome of a football player.
And I think that if you talk to Saints fans, they'll kind of highlight the fact that they just don't seem to be good when he doesn't play.
Yep.
Right. I mean, it's just every time it seems like he's not part of their lineup or part of the game plan, and I honestly don't know what position he's most valuable at. You know, third down, running quarterback, fullback, tight end, whatever it is. But I just know that when he's not on the field, this offense, for way before Clint Kubiak, seems to struggle.
Give him credit, because to me, this is supposed to be Tim Tebow. Mm-hmm. Tim Tebow should have been a Taysom Hill player. I think Tebow is partly to blame for that, because he was his refusal for so long to not do that, but that's what Taysom Hill reminds me of. I mean, he's 6'2", 220. Tebow, I think, was 6'3", 230,
like 230, yep.
240. But that's what Tebow was supposed to have been.
Here's what Hill's done against the Falcons. By the way, Saints are 10-4 versus the Falcons when he does play. He's got 10 catches, 100 yards, a touchdown, 62 carries, 4 touchdowns, averaging 7 yards a carry when he does carry the ball. Oh, passing, by the way. 57 of 75, 702 yards and 4 touchdowns. And how many times have you seen the Falcons defense maybe getting off the field as 3rd and 9 and Hill run off one for 19 yards?
Or he catches an 11-yard catch. Yeah.
It's just exasperating.
Two of those games that he's 10 and 4 being on the field came as a starter against us.
Starting quarterback.
Yes, starting quarterback with Sean Payton as the the head coach, OC, guru, whatever you want to call him. He's been phenomenal. When you see him on the field, he is a guy that when I'm spotting for Wes in the booth, if I see 7 walk on the field, I'm frantically pointing because I need Wes to know he's on the field, because the ball is most likely going to him. That's what it always seems. A big play is about to happen.
Completely agree, man. He's dangerous, and I just feel a collective groan up in the press box when he comes out on the field and then whatever situation he's put in.
And what's with of course, the Hoodats are going to be here. There's always going to be a couple of tubas, too. They always bring their tubas to town, too, it seems like. So I do not want to hear those tubas when I do the Falcons flyover on Sunday at the Signia by the Hilton.
They're just trying to stand up and get crunk. You know what I mean? That's all it is. Trying to stand up and get current, which I honestly do love their pregame. I can't lie to you. Down there, it was always fun to they always have a guy come out in the middle
with the umbrella
and drop the hammer. And, you know, everybody gives it the old hoot at and everything else, which I thought was kind of a cool thing. It was always a player like Jari Evans would be out there.
Wouldn't it Benson with his umbrella?
Benson with the umbrella. Yeah. The player would walk out, put their fist up and drop it. And everybody kind of, you know, screams at the same time, which I thought was cool. But don't bring your tuba into Mercedes-Benz. Well, yeah, I don't need that. You don't want the smoke.
And this is a rivalry, too, before we get to how the Falcons need to play Derek Carr, because Mike's got some amazing stats we'll get to in just a couple of seconds here.
The numbers.
But this is a rivalry that has some crossovers, too. Remember, Curtis Lofton was drafted here and played linebacker here with you, Mike. You played linebacker. It was one of your teammates, and he went to New Orleans. Bobby Hebert. It's pronounced Hebert.
Not Hebert.
But it's spelled Hebert.
Morton Anderson.
And it's funny because Bobby's back in New Orleans. He does pregame for a WWWL. Every year now, Bobby wants me to come on and do their hit and during pregame. So when Mike and Chris go for it during our pregame, which starts at 11 o'clock Sunday morning on 92.9, when they're talking to Wes and Arch in a booth, I'm over there with Bobby. And Bobby's got this thing about the name Squidbilly. Mm-hmm. And so he makes a point. Yeah, you know, we got Squidbilly from the Atlanta Falcons. Squidbilly, and he says a name like three times in the question. but we got these crossover guys in this rivalry. Joe Horn played on both sides. Right. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have played on both. David Onyemata, Caden Ellis. There's a lot of guys that have played on both sides. This even adds to the fuel.
It's incestuous.
Yeah. I completely agree with you. It's funny, man. And Curtis Lofton was just one of those guys. I loved him as a teammate. I remember me and him when I was a rookie. I didn't have anywhere to live here. When you're a rookie and OTAs is over, you kind of have to go home, and there's not really a place for you to stay until you get back to training camp. I remember walking in. I like showed up early. I think I got like a hotel room. Showed up like a week early before training camp. Curtis Lofton walks in the waiting room. He's like, Yeah, don't show up right before we get to training camp. I was like, Curtis, I don't have anywhere to live, dude. Like, and he kind of looked at me like, oh. And then he goes, you can come stay with me if you want. I was like, yeah, dude, reminder, buddy. Like, I don't have a house to go back to right now. But that was always fun. Man, good teammate, man. Good dude. And, God, he played tough, man. So
yeah, he was a hell of a player. It was. We got to deal with him a lot when he was here. He was a great dude. All right. You have some numbers.
Correct.
The Falcons have played, you said, was it 94? Something percent of their snaps this season have been in cover three?
Not quite that many. Okay. Not quite that many. Let's back that down a little bit.
Okay.
So the Falcons have only played man coverage on 14% of dropbacks. That ranks 28th percent in the NFL. Let me say that one more time. The Falcons have only played man coverage on 14% of the other team's dropbacks, right? Just straight up dropbacks. I'm not talking about like play action, all this other stuff. Like just straight up dropbacks, Falcons have only played 14% man coverage. They've been in cover three on 49% of their snaps, which is number four in the NFL.
Do you do that because your two safeties, Pro Bowl caliber, you kind of let them kind of rover around? Is that sort of that?
There is a number of reasons you do it. First of all, when you're in cover three, primarily you're going to be in zone underneath, right? You're going to have four players for five zones, and a lot of times you do that to simply just limit the explosive plays, which they've done at a very high clip. The Atlanta Falcons just have not given up, and I'm trying to find the stat I had written down.
And
11th in passing points allowed per attempt, only 6th in yards allowed per attempt in the NFL.
And cover three is basically the middle safety, the deep safety has basically everything,
right?
And anything deep, and the cornerbacks on the outside cornerbacks have anything from behind, everything down the sideline, basically.
Correct. They have deep thirds along the sideline. The corners will drop deep, and then you'll have whatever combination underneath your strong safety and your linebackers and everybody else kind of dropping into whatever coverage. You can run man coverage underneath a cover three deep. You just don't do it very often. The Falcons don't do it very often. So you're primarily a cover three team. The Atlanta Falcons run the fourth most cover three in the NFL. The only issue with that going into this weekend, Derek Carr's numbers against cover three, here we go. 20 of 28 for 306 yards. That's 10.9 yards per attempt and two touchdowns, right? So he's been very good. And we talk about cover three, and like I said, sometimes when you're in cover three and you have these zones underneath, it kind of the short routes, like if the wide receivers run a quick slant, things like that, it can kind of open you up to those styles of plays. That's when Derek Carr has been very, very good, right? It's kind of throwing the underneath stuff and creating explosives and letting his players get out there and run.
All right, let's hear from Raheem Morris on what David Carr can do to you.
Derek Carr, when clean and everything is going right, he is an absolute stud in this league. You know, you got to affect the passer, and that goes for everybody. But if you can find a way to affect him, I have some very highly competitive battles versus Derek Carr throughout the years, whether he's been in Oakland, wherever he's been. Now with Saint, last year versus him, when we jumped ahead and he came roaring back. And so we got to find ways to affect Derek Carr, and he's playing very well.
He was a full participant. He's got a groin injury.
A groin?
Yeah, that's right.
What's going on with the groins now? That was Eric McCoy. Had the same thing.
Yeah, but he was a full participant yesterday. I think Derek Carr gets a bad rap. Everything Raheem Morris that's what I've seen. You know, obviously he knows more than me, but that's what I've seen is, dude, you give him time, he will absolutely shred you. There's a reason why guys like Devontae Adams wanted to come play with him, and
he's got a lot of fourth quarter comebacks too.
Yeah, he's a good player when he's had a chance, but he's also played for the Raiders his entire career until last year, and then he didn't get any. I don't think he got much better going to the Saints. You know, that's what I think, but. They got to him last week. They hit him early and often. Jalen Carter last week played his best game as a pro. Now, you start to think about it, and can one of our guys have a game like that because of their injuries up front with McCoy and Ruiz and Lucas Patrick having to move over and you're moving in there? Also to the point of, do you play him differently because of his success against a cover three? Because the cover three seemed to work last week against Patrick Mahomes as far as limiting big plays.
Well, and here's what I'll say about that. I don't think you play him any different because I think that's just what Atlanta is. And I think that there's something to saying, well, you know, matchup-wise, he's been good against this, so we don't want to give him this look. There's ways to disguise it. I think one of the craziest stats is I think they've run we talked about this earlier, Squid. New Orleans has run something like 96% of their snaps have had motion before the snap on their dropbacks. They've motioned, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're motioning, trying to get you to kind of show your hand as far as what your disguise is for the coverage that you are in. So, you know, I think, and it goes back to first and second down, right? And I think that we've talked about how good the Saints have been running the ball with a line that nobody thought would be great. But here's the problem that I've noticed, and I think a lot of people say this about Gary Kubiak, all right, and I think Clint Kubiak kind of has the same mindset. They will run the ball on first and second down when they have no business running the ball on first and second down. Their ability to run the ball on early downs is almost last in the league at success rate. They are averaging next to nothing running the ball on first and second down.
Well, Alvin Kamara is looking like what he did 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, he looks so good.
He looks like rookie year to me. Yeah. He's having that kind of impact. It's going to be interesting, that number, that stat you just said, Mike, because, Rob, our defense has not been good when ran against early in down sets, and that's why teams have been able to stay on the field against us because they've been in third and shorts a lot.
11, what is that, the Falcons, 27th against the run, giving up about 150 yards a game. Got to clean that up. All right, going to come back. Grouchy Al Michaels, and I'm all for it. Coming up next on the Morning Stiff Sports Radio, 99 Game. Sorry, brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean, and bless your heart out there if you're suffering from flooding. I guess Zero Res is going to be busy.
Yeah, it looks like it just picked up here. Business has picked up outside as far as the downpour. I mean, yep. It looks like it's raining the heaviest it's rained all morning. So if you're out there, slow down. I mean, there's no hurry. The roads were pretty empty early this morning, right, when we were on them.
Rain's going to move out around lunchtime. Yep.
Yeah.
It's not looking good. Weather looks good for Braves baseball tonight. Max Fried gets a start. Just win, baby. You're scratching and clawing. Just win. We're not going to go over all the scenarios. Just win.
That's the bottom line. Take it out of the mathematics equation and just keep winning. That's what you have to do.
Yeah, Brady Singer's on the mound for the Royals against Max Fried. He's very hittable this year. So
good at bats, patient at bats. Look for your pitch to hit. Don't go up there all anxious.
Yeah, this is the postseason, baby. This is the closest thing you might get. So you might as well treat it that way.
Playoff baseball. It sure is tonight. 2-point favorite. Georgia is at Tuscaloosa tomorrow night. Weather's looking good there. Just cloudy. About a 20% chance of rain, of course. Falcons Saints on Sunday, and I'll be doing Falcons flyover, the Signia by Hilton, that beautiful state-of-the-art hotel right next door to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So come by and look for the distinguished, aging but handsome man.
Rob, I always leave the Falcons games, the home games, at halftime. So do pregame there, then I'll go sit in the media, you know, the press box, and then I'll leave around halftime and try to get back to the studio to watch the second half and do postgame from here. I got to tell you, I walked out at halftime the other day, and I was just looking at that Signia, and I was like, man, that looks like such a good time over on that patio.
Fourth floor, yep, the nest on the fourth floor. The food is good. Service is good. Service is a dying thing, but the service is impeccable. Their food's pretty good, too. I had the smash burger that was...
Oh, nice. We stayed there after Zach Bryan. We stayed in the hotel, and so we obviously went to the...
Did y'all do weird stuff?
I mean, no more than normal. But we went down to the Nest on 4, where you do the show from. What a cool bar. They got the little mini halo that they have TVs. That place gets hopping. Of course, it was that night. I know it is after Falcons games.
Well, I hope it's hopping with Falcons fans, because Saints fans will take that place over with their tubas if the Saints win on Sunday.
You got to kick them out.
15 penalties last night. 15 flags thrown in the Dallas Cowboys' 20-15 victory over the Giants. And Al Michaels had enough. Let's get to in the huddle. Sorry.
Some of those were against their own team, Rob. The Giants have their opening drive, and they get a first down. And they call it back for a face mask on the Giants. And you go back to the replay, and the Cowboys defender grabs the face mask of the Giants tight end blocking. They called the – and they didn't even correct it. And then they call there's a Dallas touchdown when they call holding, the first Dallas touchdown. It's clearly holding. The player, they call it, they throw the flag. The defender's shoulder pads are exposed from where the jersey has been pulled. They picked it up. I just don't know what's going on with officiating in this league. It goes back to Sunday night with the pass interference call that wasn't thrown. Oof. I just don't understand how the league can continue to have these primetime games where, like Sunday night, the commissioner was at and the officiating be so poor.
That's all rigged, that's why. How much you guys enjoy grouchy Al Michaels?
I love him. Dude, I love him.
Well, let's hear him.
I do too.
2 minute warning. Has not occurred. We got another flag. It's like June 14th here. Otherwise known as Flag Day, as you know. Clay Martin looks like a referee out of Central Casting.
It's like a young Terry McCauley out there.
I heard that Central Casting line, and when they kicked the field goal or an extra point, he goes, it was a field goal. Giants get a field goal, and he goes, and on cue, a flag has been thrown.
He did. There was one. I think it was when CeeDee Lamb scored the long touchdown on the nice throw from Dak, and he goes, "Yeah, we actually have a touchdown without a flag." And then he goes, "And somebody in my ear is saying there actually is one." So.
Yeah,
and it was a celebration flag. So it was after the play, but it was hilarious. His reaction was like,
"He also said, yep. I guess the official's gonna have to go on to Amazon and order more flags."
Yeah, I mean, he's good, dude. He's one of my favorites. I got a question about him coming up in Fair Foul, so you don't want to miss that too. But I love that combination that they have on Thursday nights. A little bit of, Kirk. I always say youth with Kirk Herbstreit. He's not young, but he is in terms of what Al Michaels is. Yeah. So
what is Al Michaels? 82.
He's got to be in his 80s. So yeah, man. It's just I think they're a good combination on Thursday nights.
And he's still, of course he's lost a little bit off his fastball, but he's still wonderful. Just
oh, for sure.
Just
he's
for sure.
He's what? Turns 80 in November.
79.
Turns 80 in November.
Well, 79 is the new 59 when it comes to Al Michaels, I guess. And the Cowboys get a win. That's a franchise that's been under some scrutiny, has it, with what the Saints did to him especially.
A shout-out to everybody that was like me last night on the Cowboys, minus the six, and the kicker misses the field goal at the end of the game with 30 seconds left. It could have covered for that, and it did not, so it's unfortunate.
I actually like Mike McCarthy. I think he's a good coach. I think he did a great job when he was with Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers only won one title, and it was with Mike McCarthy, and they did it when they had a lot of injuries. There are times, though, when he's on the sideline for Dallas – and he already kind of a goofy looking dude, and the crucial catch hats, which I really like the fact that they do the crucial catch. You know, it's basically cancer awareness. But there's something about they're like the plaid type hats this year.
Yeah,
and there's something about they throw a flag, they zoom over to Mike McCarthy, and he's wearing big old dude with a plaid hat, and he looks bewildered. It's just a weird look. He just looks lost.
I thought
at times.
Brian Daboll looked the same last night.
Oh,
looked
he
bewildered
did.
And lost. Like he they did. Keep going to him. He's got this look on his face, like, "I'm sorry, what did you just say to me?" Bewildered's it's a good word.
Well, he looked bewildered because they could only kick five field goals, could not get in the end zone last night.
And I didn't think Daniel Jones looked terrible either.
29 of 40, 281. Had the one interception.
That's not an interception. That's a Hail Mary throw up.
Yep.
I don't even think those should count against a stat because you get some jackleg who didn't watch the game and you go, "Yeah, see, he's always turning the ball over. Interception." And it's just like, did you watch the game?
I will say this, Rob, to kind of put a bow on that game last night. I texted Bo this last night. Kayvon Thibodeau, for everything that he's supposed to be in, there's always been questions about what kind of guy. There were at least three times last night I looked at him and I was like, he's exhausted. I mean, exhausted. Like, can't hardly breathe. Like, they actually threw a swing pass to his side, and I think it resulted in a touchdown, or maybe that touchdown was called back. And it was like, dude, he didn't have enough energy to chase the play.
Wait, was he part of that questionable Hugh Freeze recruiting class at Ole Miss?
No. That was in Kandichi. But
a lot of the same mold when
he was coming out of Oregon about whether or not he loved the game. There was questions about that.
Well, football's not the number one thing.
Right.
You
know, that's fine. I don't blame him for that, but it looked like last night football was not the number one thing in his offseason.
And let me tell you something. When you're the fifth overall pick in your third year and you've only got 16 sacks, which I'm not saying is terrible because that's not bad necessarily for only in his third year, but when an organization feels about you to the point where they have to bring in a guy like Brian Burns to be the band, and so you can just get a few, and you're in your fourth game of the year, you look out of shape. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's a good look for you.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think his fifth-year option is going to be picked up if this continues.
What's with these quarterbacks that have been paid? They're not Jalen Hurts. What, interceptions in seven straight games? Trevor Lawrence looks like an absolute disaster down in Jacksonville.
Man, he's rough.
What's going on?
I think Jalen Hurts has been a product of whatever happened with his injury late in the season of the Super Bowl year, and then last year they tried to play in the pocket more. Jalen Hurts needs to play like he did against us, where he's free to run a little bit more. I think it makes him a better player. I think he's forced the ball at times, too. That interception against Green Bay down in Brazil where he threw it out of his own end zone, that was just a ball that in no way, shape, or form you should throw.
Well, you could say that against the Saints, too. He threw in the end zone last week.
Picked off in the end zone. I remember I was talking to someone, and that was one that I think it was Arch and I were talking about. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but somebody I was talking about that much smarter than me about the game was like, most people are going to look at it and think that was on Hurts, but it wasn't because there was a route issue there. But he's just forced the ball a little bit lately. Trevor Lawrence, Mike, you got any answers? Because I just think they're a loss.
The overthrow that whoever it was caught it last week. Was it DeMar Hamlin? They caught the overthrow.
Yeah, DeMar Hamlin, yeah.
It was bad. It's bad. And I think that's why you see Doug Peterson coming out and say all options are on the table. And here's the answer to your question, Rob. These guys, these teams are being it's a matter of structure in the NFL, right? You're almost being forced into situations where you have to pay these quarterbacks. And like Trevor Lawrence, prime example. You draft him number one overall. He's going to be your guy. You have to, you know, get rid of the head coach and everything else going around. So you give him the benefit of the doubt. You're basically paying off what you think he could be.
Yep.
Right? Instead of what he is. And I think the same thing goes with Jalen Hurts. You have a good year, you got to pay the man. There's just a number. Tua Tagovailoa, you got to pay the man. All these, Jordan Love, got to pay the man. And it's all based off of really a one-year sample size and what they possibly could be.
You know, Gardner Minshew, statistically, I think he's been a little bit better than Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, I believe that for sure. Gardner Minshew plays the game without fear. Let me just put it that way. Yep. Like he is
Uncle Rico.
Uncle Rico. I'm gonna turn it over three times, but I'm gonna throw this pigskin down the field. You know what I mean? You can best believe.
I do think that it's easier for Gardner Minshew to play the way he does than it would be for Trevor Lawrence.
I agree. 100%.
Because Trevor Lawrence,
he's not gonna leave anything out there.
Well, Gardner Minshew's not as much as expected out of me.
No, and he can't leave it. He can't leave anything out there, but he has to give it everything. Because Gardner Minshew has got one thing locked up. As long as he wants to, he will be on a roster in this league because he is, if he's not one of the best 32, which I think he is. He's definitely one of the best 35, which means he'll be on a roster for the rest of his forever until he wants to say he's Chase Daniels, but better at this point.
All right, so stop what you're doing at 8:20. David Archer is going to be joining us. But Mike, what day is it?
It's Fair Foul Friday, right?
Yes.
Go ahead and put your fingers on that plate and pull a little sample out. Let me give you a little sample right here. You ready? How about this one? The winning quarterback tomorrow night, Bama versus Georgia, becomes the Heisman favorite immediately after the game. That's Fair Foul Friday. Coming up on the other side of the break, it's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Fair Foul Friday. And it's Falcons Friday, too, man. So you guys have to play the game.
Is this where I go, wah, wah, wah?
Wah, wah, wah. but I always love playing Fair Foul Friday with Rob in the building, man. It's a lot of fun. We'll dive right into it.
You don't play. You just ask questions. I play with Rob.
Okay. If you want to get into semantics and cut me off in the middle of my segment, then that's one thing. All right. So we'll do this. You guys know how to play the game. If you've never heard this segment before, welcome in. Thank you for listening. What I do is I make a statement. Rob and Bo say whether or not it's fair or it's foul. So let's start off. We'll go straight to Bama versus Georgia. Fair or foul, Bama will be Georgia's toughest game this year. And let me remind you some of the games they have coming up. They'll play Auburn. They'll play Mississippi State. They'll go to Austin to play Texas. They'll go to Ole Miss, and they'll have Tennessee at home. Bama will be Georgia's toughest opponent this season. Fair or foul, Bo, we'll start with you.
I got to go foul. I think Bama is extremely good. I think they're one of the top 5 to 7 teams in the country right now. But I think going to Austin, Texas is going to be different for Georgia. I just think it's a different trip. Bama's a team you've played and you kind of understand them and you know what's in it. But I think this Texas thing could possibly catch them off guard if they're not ready for it player-wise. And I think Texas is the best team in the country right now.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Rob?
Foul when they go to Austin.
Okay. All right. You let him talk you into it.
I thought that beginning with that. I'm an independent thinker.
Unbelievable. All right, how about this one?
I can confirm that.
Let's focus on another big game happening this weekend, Falcons and Saints. Falcons, and we talked about this stat category yesterday. Falcons, sacks plus takeaways. Sacks plus takeaways will be five or more. Sacks plus takeaways will be five or more for the Falcons against the Saints on Sunday. Sacks plus takeaways, five or more. Bo, we'll start with you.
I'm going to have to go foul, and I hate that I'm doing that way, but that would be an anomaly of a game. So what we've seen so far.
Right.
I think you're averaging like a sack and a turnover, or a sack and a turnover and a half, or something. It's like a 1.5 is a sack turnover, whatever number you're saying. Right now for this team, jump to five, that's a lot. I do think the number goes up this week, though.
Yeah. All right, what do you think,
Rob? I'm going to say fair. Eric McCoy out of the lineup for the Saints. They're only averaging 3 yards a carry without him in the lineup. They're going to run. They're not going to be able to run the balls effectively. David Carr not as mobile. Mm. Yes.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
I hope you're right. All right, let's talk about a little bit of baseball. Dodgers and Yankees clinch yesterday. If the Braves weren't able to make it, Dodgers versus Yankees is by far the most watchable World Series. Dodgers versus Yankees is by far the most watchable World Series if the Braves aren't able to make it. We'll start with you, Rob.
For nostalgia purposes, yeah, glamorous, iconic franchises, I will say fair.
Okay, what do you think, Bo? Dodgers versus Yankees, most watchable World Series.
Everything he said is reason why if my life was on the line, I would say fair. However, I'm going to tell you foul. Because I couldn't care less to watch the Dodgers and the Yankees. I'm sick of both teams. I don't like both teams. I think it's a turnoff for some markets, but you're going to get more people watching that series than you've probably gotten in the last 20 years of a World Series.
And I won't pay much attention. I'd watch a Game 7 if it went to Game 7. Yeah. I'd just kind of peek at it here and there.
One and seven is what I'd watch. Yeah. I might have it on to see if Ohtani does anything special. But
All right, let's go to this one. Last night, obviously, we talked about Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit in the booth. Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit, better than Buck and Aikman. Michaels and Herbstreit on Thursday night, better than Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Rob, we'll start with you.
Fair, because I just love Al Michaels.
Right.
And I think he brings something out of Herbstreit, too, and I like Herb.
But he gets a little edge on Kirk, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It brings a little edge to him. I think you're completely right.
Foul.
Okay.
I'm a bigger fan of Aikman than I am Herbstreit in the booth.
Okay.
And I like what Troy Aikman brings. I mean, this has nothing to do with the fact that we have stood at urinals next to each other, and he does wash his hands afterwards. I'm just saying, I like Aikman as an analyst better than Herbstreit in the booth.
But he chews with his mouth open.
Really?
I don't know.
Okay, all right. I was curious.
Let's go back to Tuscaloosa for this next one, and we mentioned this one going into the break. The winning quarterback tomorrow night will become the Heisman favorite. Whoever it is, Jalen Milroe, Carson Beck, whichever one it is, Rob, we'll start with you. Fair foul.
Foul, foul, foul. Travis Hunter, if he stays healthy.
Travis, okay, all right. I did not think you were going to go there, but yeah, okay. I tend to agree with you. What do you think, Bo? Fair or foul?
It's absolutely foul, and Rob said it perfectly. I will add this to what Rob said. The Heisman Trophy is supposed to be about the best player in college football, not the best quarterback on the best team in college football. Therefore, if you don't give it to Travis Hunter and he stays healthy, as Rob said, then you need to change the name of the trophy or the meaning of the trophy is at this point because you're all liars.
All right, let's go back to last night's
thieves.
Let's go back to last night's game. Daniel Jones is the quarterback of the Giants in the 2025 season. Daniel Jones, quarterback of the Giants in the 2025 season. But we'll start with you. Is that fair or foul?
It's foul as this trajectory. They're not going to lose games and stay with Daniel Jones as a starting quarterback. I don't think Daniel Jones is playing badly, though. That's the problem is he might lose the job and not really be playing terrible. However, you're not putting enough touchdowns on the board, and you need to be. He still needs to be better.
Rob,
his story could be similar to Vikings quarterback
Sam Darnold.
Yeah, he could go somewhere else and get a new lease on life. Carson Beck will be the quarterback of the Giants next year.
But I do think he's been better in his career at this point.
Whoa!
Just want to get
Carson Beck, not Shador Sanders.
No.
All right, let's go. Let's get two more. Is it weird, or I'm going to say it's weird that A's fans were taking dirt from the Coliseum last night? It's weird that the A's fans were taking dirt, shoveling dirt into bags and taking it home. Weird that A's fans were taking dirt. Rob, we'll start with you.
Foul, I get it. I certainly get it. There's there's a lot of history of that franchise, especially in the 70s, late 80s with La Russa, Canseco, Maguire. It's not weird.
Okay. All right. What do you think, Bo?
I wouldn't do it. A's fans were
taking dirt home last night.
That's foul. I would take dirt home too from a stadium that I had
this
those memories
dump,
from. Yeah. Okay. Well, that doesn't mean it's like dump dirt. I mean, it the stadium's
a lot of losses on that dirt.
You know, they had a lot of wins too, dude. I hate to break it to you, but they were at one time a really, really good team before. And even
did
before
they three-peat in the early 70s?
I don't know if they three-peated it, but I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Someone looked that up. I think they may have.
All right, let's
they
finish
were with, a storied franchise until they got a trash ownership group.
Let's finish with this one. Bama versus Georgia will be played at least twice this year. At least twice this year you'll see Bama versus Georgia. Rob, we'll start with you.
They could play three times.
They could. At least twice. Fair foul.
I will say fair.
Okay. Yeah, you think you'll see it again. Bo, what do you think?
Foul.
Fair foul.
I don't think they play in the SEC championship game, and I'm not sure because of that if they play in the college football playoff.
No, interesting stuff, man.
That doesn't mean that both teams can't.
They did three-peat.
That either team could be in the national title, or I just don't think they're going to match up because of
the seeding.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's cool. Thank you guys for playing. That is Fair Foul Friday, man.
That was a very efficient, solid.
You like just rolling through effort. There, baby.
I love
hit
all
me
of
with it.
I love the hard-hitting sports questions that this week. It was good.
It was cleaner than zero red. You know what? You know what? Fair foul Friday.
It
was,
if I need
you
to.
Gave us a smart, lasting clean
That's
with
right.
that one.
That's
just
right.
like zero res. Hey, we got David Archer coming up at 8:20. And what are we doing next? I just got lost.
Pick segment.
Oh, we're doing the picks.
We're
Bills,
setting
Ravens,
ourselves
Georgia,
up for failure,
Alabama.
Rob.
We're also gonna kind of update you on everything going on with the Braves in the series this weekend.
Ooh, and I'm 2 games under .500. You're 3 games under. Mike's 1 game under. We're going to make our picks. We're going to man up Monday and be held accountable. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 1990 Game.